And in 3, 2, 1, we have liftoff.
You are listening to the Discerning Eye Podcast, discerning all things cannabis, with your hosts, Alan Villatoro, Aaron Luna, and Brianna Grignon.
And welcome again to another episode of the Discerning Eye. Myself, I'm Alan Villatoro. I have a couple of guests here with us, so I'll let them introduce themselves. Why don't we start with our featured guests?
Hi, my name is Adam Terry, and I'm the CEO of Cantrip.
Hi, my name's Dylan Lowry.
CEO of Cantrip.
Awesome. And then you've got Aaron Luna, your GM and HR director for Discerned.
And Brianna Grignon, your assistant general manager.
I think it's important to note that we do so many things, you know, as owners of the company, that you have multiple hats
you and you forget
what you're doing and they just start getting jumbled together.
Yeah.
I was hopping for CFO and then went to CEO.
And I love it.
Something in there. He does a lot of running the business, so I can't complain.
Yeah. There you go.
He does his job.
Jack of all trades, right? I like that title. Yeah, that's good.
You guys make it happen.
Yep.
So we're really excited to have you both on here. We're getting to try some of your products out here right now, and we're learning a little bit about how you came to be and your story, and it's kind of exciting as you're telling it because, you know, I've done a little bit of research about it, and we had a great conversation about it at one point with some of the things that you're featuring, and it's kind of really cool to hear your story about, you know, how you came to be and why you're here today. So I know Aaron has some questions lined up.
Yeah. So before we get to that, we actually talked about you guys in an earlier podcast, probably like several months ago, where we had tried out a bunch of different seltzers, and Cantrip always just stuck in my mind because the flavor profile, it is bar none, nothing like anything else that I have tasted.
Is it like a fruit forward?
I hope that's first? What it is. It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. It's a very, very good thing. Your hibiscus grapefruit, my all-time favorite. We'll get to that in a few short seconds. But no, it was the total experience when we were trying out these seltzers. So why don't you go ahead and get us kickstarted and tell us a little bit about your company and how you guys came, how this all started.
Yeah.
Why seltzers?
That's a pretty good question.
Beverages, right?
Yeah, I would say beverages. I mean, it really depends on what your definition of a seltzer is, but seltzers are really popular, so we're calling it a seltzer. Cantrip was started back in, right after the pandemic began. I was working on some things at actually a different business that I own, where I make gin and vodka, and I was making some canned gin and tonics. But I had been, I'd spent the last 7 years in the cannabis industry making all sorts of different products, cartridges, concentrates, edibles. And so I already developed water-soluble technology in the past. I was like, well, I could put cannabis into a beverage. I had thought for years, actually, that cannabis beverages really wouldn't work because I had never tasted one that was good. But the other products I had worked on tasted fine, so I thought, why not see if I can make something actually taste good? So I immediately jumped into making something. I knew the cannabis would have to blend with the flavors if we were going to make it work. So that meant I wasn't just going to be doing lemon, and I wasn't going to be just doing grapefruit. It was going to have to be something beyond that. So what I was aiming for when I created the flavors was to really create something that had the sort of aftertaste of like you had just hit a joint. So it needed to have a little bit of that cannabis element and a little bit of that terpene element.
Right.
So when it comes to terpenes, terpenes are in just about everything, right? So we have them, limonene is in lemons and pinene is in basil and it's in pine trees. So a lot of those flavors exist, but I wanted to add that little extra oomph. So I knew from the very beginning that we would use terpenes in the flavor formulations as well. So the first one I actually tried was the lemon basil. And I actually happen to have a few boxes of botanically derived terpenes at my house. Much to my my then girlfriend, now wife, chagrin. And so I tried a little bit of the Durban poison in it, and that really kind of made it. Wow.
So as you're talking about it, it's kind of, I get the... some of the science behind it was really interesting. And you mentioned, you know, the water soluble component of cannabis, which in its, you know, I guess natural state is not water soluble.
Yeah, that's correct. Anyone who's ever had a bong before knows that cannabis is an oil.
Right.
A lot of people consume cannabis oil, is what we call it that.
Right.
And it's not just oil, but it's the most oily oil there is in terms of how viscous it is. So it's really thick. anyone's ever taken like a jar of distillate and turned it over, yeah. it's like tar. It does not move. It would take hours to form a droplet actually coming off of that thing. So water and cannabis do not get along very well. But if you've spent a few years studying chemistry, like I have, you know that there are ways of getting that cannabis into that water. You can find ways of using ingredients that will combine them together. So we use a technique called nanoemulsification. A lot of different companies have done nanoemulsification. We have our own in-house proprietary technique for doing it.
Right.
That is something that, you know, unlike a lot of other beverage companies that actually find out there, we make in-house. Right. A lot of those companies sort of outsource that because they're really good at making beverages. They're really good at branding and marketing. We are good at branding and marketing and making cannabis products. And that's something that does kind of separate us from a lot of these other brands. We are cannabis people who've been doing this for quite a while and operating right. actual facilities for quite a while.
Well, I think that, like, you nailed it when you said, you know, you were talking about the fact that, you know, you're, first of all, you're a beverage company and you're adding terpenes to it because of, like you said, the flavor profile. So you understand the need to have that high quality, and the fact that you actually come up with, you know, you have the science in-house for it, so you actually can control it. I think really brings a new level to it, where, like you said, oftentimes we encounter a lot of brands that, you know, they're getting the biomass from, you know, we don't really know in some cases, you know, multiple places. And then they're getting, you know, the oil created for them by somebody else. And then they're really just adding either something at the very end or a twist on it. And this is a lot different. You're involved in the entire process, every component of it.
Well, I would say we don't extract in-house ourselves. Not that we couldn't if we wanted to, but we do pretty much all of the other things that are important to making a cannabis product. There are a lot of great extractors in Massachusetts, so I actually don't have to do that myself. But yeah, it is different, where there's a lot of people who just kind of send it out for white labeling, right. but that's not something that we're interested in because we know we can make it better than other people.
Exactly. And, you know, the fact that you actually introduced terpenes into it, like you said, is I think it's pretty, you know, pretty interesting.
A lot of people really like it, who are, especially those in the cannabis industry, you know, bud tenders seem to love it. Mm-hmm. I think it just makes a better tasting product. I want to be clear that I don't think it's really possible to make a beverage that is a hybrid or a sativa or indica, not in a, what I think is a meaningful way, but anytime you make something taste better, it has a meaningful impact on somebody's experience with it. You know, many of those who are listening probably are familiar with the term set and setting, which matters anytime you're consuming any sort of inebriant or psychoactive drug, which is that the set, the mindset that you go in with and the setting that you're in have a strong influence on ultimately the experience that you'll have. And part of that for me is actual flavor.
Yeah. Well, I think I was reading something a couple of days ago, and the big focus on was, first and foremost, you have to create something that's memorable, you know, when people taste it. Because there's no shortage of beverages, there's no shortage of edibles, flowers. So, you know, it's not necessarily that there's going to be one or two, you know, but it's got to be memorable that people, you know, will want to talk about after.
Right.
You know, some of the flavors that you have crafted, I think, are really memorable. So
I think that's right. Something actually I learned at one of my early jobs in the food industry, from, you know, probably one of the best lessons I've learned from this job when I worked at a place called Amherst Coffee out in Amherst, is that taste is the memory of experience. You know, we learn things about like what that. We like and what we don't like from trying them. And without trying them, we don't remember them, and we won't be able to make more discerning decisions about what we like. So that was really when I learned to do tasting notes. It was about, you need to taste something over and over again to really start to unlock what's inside. It's the same for coffee. It's the same for scotch, because there's a lot of upfront flavors that'll mask what are behind the thing. And so once you learn to sort of peel back those layers, you can really understand. And that all comes with experience. And creating a memorable experience also creates a better social connection, because if you remember it, you remember who you were with. And those sensory memories make better social connections. And right. that is definitely right within what we were trying to do at Cantrip.
Wow, that's excellent. So let's talk about some of the flavors that we have here right now. And maybe, I don't know, I kind of want to know a little bit about I know you're a fruit forward first, is that right?
I'd like to say sort of citrus forward with an herbal twist. I don't think everything we do will forever be citrus. Actually, I know it won't forever be citrus, but it does tend to work really well, particularly with cannabis.
Yep.
Citrus is really heavy in limonene and other terpenes, which is actually why most citruses will kind of give you a sort of sativa-like effect. A
little boost, right?
Particularly lemon, right? And then with the lemon basil, we have the basil provides also a little bit of pinene on it, and then we have the Durban poison terpenes on top. So they all blend together. I think a lot of people are off put by the sense that basil be in something, but you know, go to any fancy bar, and I promise you, though, during the summer, you'll find something with basil on the menu there.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of what we bring. So we have three flavors out right now. We have our lemon basil, we have our grapefruit hibiscus, and we have our ginger peach. And those three flavors have had a pretty good response in the market. They're about evenly popular, though I'd say a little bit skewing towards the grapefruit hibiscus.
Yes.
And we have a couple new flavors coming out within just a couple months here.
Well, I'm trying one of your flavors. Can we announce it?
Can we
talk about? So I have in front of me the watermelon mint. Have you tried this?
I did. It was quite refreshing, actually. It's got just a hint of that, and I like mint.
It's
funny because
very refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, I like mint in a lot of things, especially even in ice cream.
For me, it's I don't like sweet. I've never liked sweet, whether you're drinking an alcoholic beverage or you're smoking a strain that kind of is a little bit more sweet. It's a turnoff for me.
But you need a little bit though, and I find this is like a great balance of
it. It's almost like you're hesitant to call it tart because it's not tart. But it's real flavor. It doesn't feel like you're like getting that watered down sugary like watermelon flavor like you're gonna get out of like Truly, the added sugar. So that's what my main reason why I personally love it. I think it's really important to come at this, with a different aspect, like where you come from with the basil. It might be a turnoff for some, the same way that a lot of people want to eat a watermelon basil feta salad. One of my favorites, and it kind of takes that step out of your comfort zone. But once you try it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, this is different. And that was my whole thing. When I worked for an MSO and we got them in, I bought them and I was like, I was hesitant because I was like, what is this going to do for me? You know what I mean? I'm the person that back in the day, I was like, I need the heaviest hitter that you can get. I want 25% or above and I want minimum of 5.2 milligrams in an edible. Like I was like this stickler that when I did intake, I was like looking at it because I was taught like, I'm just not feeling it because it's my tolerance. Little did I know, I just wasn't catering that experience to what my body wanted or needed. And I think that, you kind of got to go out on that whim there. So my question for you, I think, is what advice do you have for first-time consumers of beverages that maybe whether they're the seasoned user or the new user that's never tried one in their life, what's your best direction for them? Because I know, a lot of our demographic, like my mother, in Grafton, she's never tried one. She's very hesitant to try one, but I think that it's because they don't know. And so that's where this transparency comes from, where, we'll sell that product and we'll tell them how it works. But hearing it from, from your voice of what the purpose was behind it, because it's not just to get high. I think that really plays the part in the experience. I think that when they're drinking it, they think about that. So for me, what advice do you got?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question because there's a lot. My cannabis journey has been varied over the last 15 years.
Yeah, you were telling me about it. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, I used to smoke a lot all the time, and I used to be okay with that. In fact, but I look back and I think to myself, it's probably why I was had a tough time being social a lot of the time. It really, cannabis has never been a super social experience for me. I was even in the Cannabis Reform Coalition when I went to UMass, which puts on Extravaganza every year. And the thing you do in that club, which is where I spend most of my time, is you smoke weed with other people. And I never really want to smoke weed with other people because most of them are like, I gotta bail. I'm done. Not that I didn't enjoy smoke weed. These days, it's even gone further than that, where I really can't smoke all that much on my own before I just am too far gone and I just have to lie down or watch something, which is totally fine. But for the most part, I wanted to create something that was much lighter dose so that I could drink one, have it set in relatively quickly via the nano emulsion, and then not be super paranoid, which is why in Cantrip, our core line is what we call them with the 3 milligrams of THC. They also have 2 milligrams of CBD. because there is, I'd say, some non-clinical evidence that CBD can help offset sort of that psychoactive.
There's a lot of anecdotal. In fact, yeah. I think we're getting closer to having even more medical research, rather, peer review that I think proves it.
And that would be great, you know, because I'm always, there's something that I also hold strongly at Cantrip is that we don't want to make any claims that we can't say are necessarily true. But with the CBD, there does seem to be a strong sort of mitigating effect to the paranoiac part of the THC. So it was really important to me to create a social drink where we do that. But we do get a lot of consumers. We get feedback. We actually have a little QR code on the side of our can. People can submit feedback.
I love your cans, by the way.
Thank you. Jess worked really hard on them.
They're amazing.
Oh, I see that.
Okay. Yeah, so those...
Hanging out without the hangover.
Yeah.
I mean...
Jess came up with that one right off the dome.
Yeah.
It was great. And people do love that. And we get a lot of feedback from older and newer folks that they're really interested in something low dose. We get a lot of new consumers coming to the marketplace, which I think is also really important in bringing... sort of the stigma off of cannabis and adapting so many consumers who are so used to alcohol into coming into cannabis. They see a drink, they're like, okay, I know how to consume this, despite the top on it, which I saw you expertly open that earlier.
I still haven't mastered that, by the way.
It takes a while. What's great is the reclosable. It's not so great because you really... It takes a few times, I think, to figure it out. It took me a few times,
even though the instructions were right in front of me.
Okay. We'll say that's from the drink.
No, it's my inability to open the can.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to do it. I'll figure it out sometime.
Childproof.
It is childproof, and yes.
So we have a lot of newer consumers and older consumers. You know, I actually briefly made products for some patients in New Hampshire at a company up there. And we constantly had patients who were asking us for like 1 or 2 milligram capsules. And so I really learned there's a lot of value to people who like low dose products.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can drink more than one, right? If you're going to have a Truly or a White Claw when you're out, you can drink one, you can side out your feel, you can drink another one. It's the same deal with the lower dose product. When you have a 3 milligram of THC, you can choose, okay, I'm going to have 3 or I'm going to have 6. And I'm just going to drink them because I actually enjoy how they taste.
Right.
That's kind of how it all comes together in my mind.
And now the 2 new flavors that you're coming out with. So the watermelon mint, and what's the second one that you're coming out with?
Blackberry lavender.
Ooh. All right. So tell me a little bit about those 2 new products. When are they launching? And let's talk about the contents in them because they're a higher dose, right?
They are a higher dose. Actually, can I ask you a question first? Do either of you want to guess what terpenes are in the watermelon mint now that you've tried it?
Oh, we just went on the terpene journey and we can't.
We also failed.
Let me try it again.
We did.
Oh, you tried to win there at their booth game.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to try it.
I'm going
to
say right now, they were Mercy. So nice, and we got an nice opportunity with that.
Is that terpene
strength? Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
No.
Caryophyllene?
No, it's not a single terpene. It's like
you're talking about the whole strain.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole
strain. It is a whole strain that I put in there. I take botanically derived terpenes and use like strain developed blends to put in there. So it's always going to be like a cannabis flower.
Well, now I got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
I do feel like the chance that you're going to get this is maybe very like 1%.
Yeah.
But
I feel like it's going to be something completely.
Ghost OG. Not a terrible guess.
No.
All right.
A little.
You ready for
it? I give up.
Yeah. It's cantaloupe haze.
Really?
Yeah. Cantaloupe haze.
Oh, you know what? I want to try this strain. That's fantastic.
Wow.
That makes sense. That flower that is cantaloupe haze, to be honest. I get so many terpene samples now that there's more terpene samples than flower that I've smoked.
Imagine that. No, well, you can definitely get, you know what, I think when Brianna said earlier about the cheese and pears or apricot, you know,
the watermelon basil feta salad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
Right?
So, not just because it's dinner time.
It's so great.
Well, I pick, you know, salad. when I drink something like, you know, one of the last 2 drinks I had, that's kind of what I, you know, I mean, I'm not saying go out and make like a porchetta wrapped, peach or what are they put it on?
Porchetta?
Yeah.
What?
Nobody? No? Peach?
Peach.
Yeah, never had that? Okay, I'm the only one.
I think you're the only one.
No, bruschetta.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Porchetta, bruschetta.
Same thing.
So it's cantaloupe. So what was the question?
Porchetta is a real thing.
Porchetta
is a real thing.
It's fantastic.
Wait, in Milford, when you see the sea, it's often a shoe.
I don't know. Peaches.
No, I'm sorry. No, prosciutto. Yeah, prosciutto.
You're talking to two Italian guys from New Jersey, so.
There you go.
Love it.
No, I think that you kind of covered it really well, you know, because again, I always like to hear from the voice of the person who founded the product and really created it and what its intended use is. Because again, you know, we're going to be the shop that if you want a good seltzer to relax on, we can, fantastic. But you're going to be the person that understands exactly what it's doing to your body and why it's doing it and its intended uses and its benefits. And I think that gets lost a lot in the cannabis industry, especially in Massachusetts, because, you know, a lot of people look at that 5.5 milligram now limit as low. And I don't think how they understand how they can use the lower doses to their benefit. So I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head where it's, you know, for me, I look at seltzers almost as a consumer thing for a social setting, like you said. You know, I've never been the person to go home and have a glass of wine after work. I was a social drinker. So I think for me, like, you know, you're really putting a product out there that, it can be for the person that doesn't want to smoke, but it can also be for the person that is really trying to figure out where they belong in the social world when you don't drink. And when, you know,
or maybe you just want to find a new way to try cannabis, to unwind at the end of the day. And it's a real easy segue into that. I know that made, like we've said before, is much less stigma associated with it, and it's we're all familiar with having a drink. You know, you kind of nailed it earlier when you were talking about the whiskeys and whatnot. So that's kind of how I came up with the name, is I was trying to find a way, you know, because I like a lot of different, you know, beverages, inclusive of scotches and rums and such.
I'm a big scotch guy myself.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, it's kind of like being a discerning, you know, scotch drinker. It's a thing. And I was like, all it is just being able to distinguish, you know, better products from others. And, you know, I personally like a lot of different single malt scotches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I go anywhere and, you know, I'm having a scotch, I have to ask, you know, what kind it is. It's not just a matter of getting a house one, you know?
That's a really good point too, because when I was actually working at Amherst Coffee, so Amherst Coffee is a unique little coffee shop out there, and I guess I'm doing a free ad for them this week, because they have a pretty nice scotch bar attached to it. Okay, it's like in the same thing. So when I was 20 years old, I got to be a scotch bartender, which is pretty cool. And, you know, cocktails. So that was part of like a speakeasy stuff.
Distinguished early on, huh?
Yeah.
Distinguished early. I still haven't been able to afford the same level of scotch things. But, you know, what you learn when you are at a scotch bar is that you got to give people the story behind it. That's how you know, when you're working for tips too, people really enjoy hearing a story, and that extended not only there, but at other restaurants I worked at, where if I could find anything that I was talking to people about, a story of how it connected to either the restaurant or the town of Amherst, or even just, you know, a story at all, they were more likely to buy it. And that is, you know, a primary thing that brands do, is that we're storytellers. We're telling you, you know, how this fits into your life.
Thank you for listening to the Discerning Eye podcast with Alan Villatoro, Aaron Luna, and Brianna Grignon of Discerned Cannabis Purveyors. Stay tuned for more podcasts and keep up to date with Discerned Cannabis Purveyors by visiting their website at discernedcannabis.com. That's discerndcannabis.com.